You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition of the podcast. Hopefully you can join us on Racing Radio for all of the racing on Thursday. We'll be live from the earlier start time of 12.05 as we've got an early kickoff at Carlisle. They begin at 12.15. We start racing at Tremor from 12.30, racing at Brighton from 1.25, Wincanton begin at 1.40, and a couple of all-weather meetings as well at Wolverhampton and Chelmsford in the evening. So something for everyone as regards codes and different surfaces on Thursday's show. Hope you can join us for all of that. Sam Norris here on the podcast and joined by Andy Gibson to look ahead to some of Thursday's action. Firstly, how are you, Andy?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
Yes, not too bad at all. This must be like Christmas for you, because after a long summer, you're nearly back in full national hunt mode, which of course is the bread and butter for a man such as yourself. It's an exciting time of year, I bet.
It's a brilliant time of the year. I mean, obviously, on the one hand, you're sad to see the summer go, because I can have lots of holidays in the summer.
True.
And really enjoy them. And on the other hand, you've just, you know, what every week now, the Chepstow meeting last week was fantastic. Weatherby today's been great. The battle with Sam Spinner and Beakstown was really interesting. Carlisle tomorrow. And then we've got, we're not far off the Old Roan, the Charlie Hall, the Badger Ales, and then the week after the November meeting at Cheltenham.
Yeah, really beginning to get going now, the national hunt season. Just step away from the jumping for just a moment, because I'm going to pick Andy's brains on a couple to follow for the upcoming season in just a tick. But I suppose we'd better mention Enable. Obviously, the news breaking on Wednesday afternoon that she's going to remain in training for 2020 and possibly have another crack at a date with history by winning a third ARC. As a jumps man, Andy, great champions coming back year after year is the norm, but mm-hmm. we don't get it as much on the flat. Not too many race mares of her ability go on to race at six. And given all the money in the breeding programme today, we can understand why. But certainly a sporting decision from Connections, and it's going to be great for the sport to see her back next year, if nothing else.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, in let's face it, she's only going to run a couple of times before the ARC, one would imagine. So we're actually not going to see her very often. It's just the thrill of knowing she's around. It's the excitement, the anticipation. And, you know, if you look back on, you know, going, I mean, I haven't studied sort of the intimate details of the flat season for a long time. I mean, I follow it, but, you know, I make my living in the winter. But when I did, you know, when the likes of, I don't know, Dancing Brave were around, and I don't know, Troy and Shergar and all these, you know, they all disappeared all too soon. And, you know, and if you imagine now that those horses had continued racing for another 2 or 3 years, and you saw, like, you know, Dancing Brave win a Derby, or come second in the Derby, and then follow up and win an ARC, which he did, and then win another ARC, and then, you know, there were so many fantastic horses who probably could have done some serious damage to that record in the ARC if they'd have stayed in training. Presumably, we wouldn't have seen Enable if she'd have won the ARC.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm guessing that would be the thinking. So if that's the thinking, you can only imagine that the ARC is the only real target, irrespective of what they say.
Yes. Would seem so, wouldn't it, really?
Why would you keep her in training otherwise?
That's all that's left to do, is make history.
So, you know, what's she going to do? She's going to run in something like the September Stakes, and probably have a run before that, so that she's just not you know, she's not absent until the September Stakes. But then, you know, last year she did that, didn't she? She was absent all year by default, and ended up, I think, in the September Stakes followed by the ARC. We might see her twice and then the ARC. And William Hill, I think, opened at 10-1.
Yeah, and that was quickly gobbled up, that 10
to 7-1.
Yeah,
and it depends how you look at it, and it depends what sort of punter you are. You know, 7-1. If you knew she was going to stay intact and you knew she was going to get there, 7-1 is a massive price, providing she, you know, we only see her in a couple of races and she wins them both.
Yeah.
But there's quite a few ifs and buts in all of that. You know, I mean, the other side of the coin is, you know, they've made this decision to have a keeper in training. We're talking from a betting point of view, not from a love of racing now. But they've made this decision. You would imagine if they started having any doubts, they would be much more likely to pull her out quickly, more quickly than they would have done otherwise, and say, you know what, let's let it go.
Yeah, such as the horse's popularity, though, she became a six-figure liability in, I think, 18 minutes once that 10-1 went up. So there's people are in a rush to back her for a potential history-making bid. And we're always looking for, you know, horses to take racing to, you know, the back page, possibly the front page. And she's kind of got that allure about her now, that she, you know, she's a big flag bearer for the sport.
Yeah, I mean, she's front page of the race. Is she front page of the race?
She is front page of the race today.
Yeah, but she's probably not going to get front page of the Sun unless she does something with Wayne Rooney and his wife. It's just great news, and you know, when you look back in another 10 or 20 years, if she has won the third arc, then it's just a fantastic thing to know that you were around at that time and that lucky enough to see her.
Loads and loads of ifs and buts in this, but potentially 2020 could see the year of a triple arc winner and a triple Grand National winner. Maybe. I bet there's a few doubles already with Tiger Roll and Enabling.
Yeah. And really, I mean, now that Tiger Roll has won so relatively comfortably off carrying 11 Storm, was it 10 or 10, 12?
11, 10, I think it was.
Then I'm not sure him having the notion of, you know, being rated £7 higher is going to make much difference. He's jumped round the fences very comfortably. The fences don't take as much jumping. Not many horse, you know. Now I think that the extended 4 miles is much more of a key variable than the fences in some ways.
Yeah.
Whereas 15, 20 years ago, even that wouldn't have been the case. A very, very plausible chance.
Mm. And that would be...
I'm thinking each way double in my head already.
Indeed, absolutely. Let's take a look ahead to the upcoming National Hunt season then, of course. As I mentioned right at the top of the podcast, this is your sort of bread and butter, Andy, and I'm sure the last few weeks and months have been a lot of preparation for the season. There must be a few horses that you've got marked down. We heard a little bit on Racing Radio for anyone who was with us on Wednesday night, some of your horses to follow for the season, but just furnish us with a couple that you're looking forward to this campaign that you're keeping an eye out for.
A couple. Well, there's one that actually is running tomorrow, and that's my nap tomorrow, so we'll wait for that one,
I think.
Al Dancer, I think, is interesting.
Yeah.
And he's interesting because he looked like a potential superstar when winning the rerouted Betfair hurdle at Ascot. Not only because of the final circuit time, not only because of how comfortably he won in the end, but because he took the inside route at a meeting where taking the inside route was the last place you wanted to be. So I think he won there despite where he ran. There was also, I did some time comparisons between Al Dancer and Elixir de Nuts on the same day at Cheltenham the previous time. And he had a ridiculous amount in hand of Elixir de Nuts.
Okay.
I mean, ridiculous. You know, he looked like a potential superstar that day, both visually and on the clock in comparison to Elixir, who, bear in mind, was something like second or third favourite for the Supreme for a long time.
7-8-1. Came out the night before the race, actually, didn't
absolutely. It? Absolutely. So he clearly didn't fire at Cheltenham. There was obviously something wrong. Assuming and hoping that that's been sorted, he still has the potential to be an exceptional horse. He might not be, but, you know, I'm very, very happy to put a line through that Supreme run. We're at a time of the year when the Twist and Davis horses will tend to go well for this month, next month, and the next month. I'd imagine that we're going to see him run at Cheltenham.
Yep.
If not the October meeting, then you'd think the November meeting. And he's just a really interesting horse, and he'd be a very difficult hurdle to beat if indeed they keep him to hurdles. I haven't read anything about him. They may be considering fences, but you would imagine with that yard, they're more likely to stick him, to keep him over hurdles. I mean, look at, say, the new one.
Yeah.
You know, they kept him and kept him and kept him just in case he could win that champion hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
This one looks to have every bit as chance as the new one, if not more. I think he could be very good indeed.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing Aldance this season immensely. Obviously, we're going to talk about that one at Wincanton that runs on Thursday in a little bit. Any others before we dive into
Yeah, we'll go to the other end of the scale, sort of a low-grade horse.
Because Aldance is well-known to the public.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a horse that ran yesterday, a mare called Definitely an Oscar of Harry Fry's, and she caught my eye last year. I think it was when she won at Warwick, and then she came out at Cheltenham in a really hot mare's race, and came through the field in impressive style and just suddenly stopped to nothing. Clearly something was amiss. They brought her out again, in the March at Ludlow, and she wasn't great again. It was no surprise to see that the next time we saw her at Newton Abbott, she'd had a wind up.
Yeah.
And she was really impressive at Newton Abbott and looks for all the world like she wants 2.5 miles and cut in the ground. She then ran over hurdles and finished sixth in a really good race, but the ground was good and you could just see she just lacks that little bit of pace. And then yesterday she travelled and jumped beautifully at Huntingdon. She was kept well off the pace by Sean Bowen, came through smoothly. The winner had flown. She beat everything else comfortably. And it was just a perfect introduction to a chasing career. She's rated 120. She was beaten 8 lengths by the Alan King horse, whose name escapes me. Yes, Royal Rebel, was it?
Yeah, that's right.
She was beaten 8 lengths, so hopefully her mark will remain intact. And she's just, you know, she's more of a short-term thing. I think she's something to keep an eye on over the next 2 months, maybe. Her next two or three runs, especially when she gets the run over 2.5 miles on softer ground than she's been running on lately.
Good stuff. So there we go. A long-term project and one that's a little bit more short-term and even more short-term than Definitely an Oscar, of course, is Thursday's racing. We go to a couple of races for a couple of picks from Andy, starting with the 220 at Carlisle. Obviously, we've got the Knapp selection runs in a Wincanton race a little bit later on, but we start here at Carlisle with this 220. Could be an informative day of racing at Carlisle on Thursday. This one is Division 1 of a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Betting available at the time of recording. I'd better go now. Is 4-1, 5-1 for Arctic Road. Farmer Boy is 5-1, 6-1 for Tegeric. Romeo Brown is 13-2, 7-1 Mega Double. Green Zone 15-2, 9-1 Iolani. Grade A 16-1, and Camille is 28-1. Start us off with this Carlisle race, please, Andy.
Yeah, and this is will go down as my next best selection. And sometimes, you know, you get a Knapp and a next best. You can't choose between them. Yep. Sometimes you're very, very strong on them. Today, I would say I was looking for one for a next best. I think it's important to see where we stand on them. And my Knapp, I'm very keen on.
Okay.
So this one is Arctic Road. You say 5-1 in the 220 at Carlisle tomorrow. The ground has got particularly soft at Wetherby. Let's see what it's like tomorrow. And you've got one or two horses around him, namely Farmer Boy, who struggled on soft ground before. And so that heavy ground win at Newcastle in March for Arctic Road is probably is more significant than it would usually be. I just thought that there was about 5 or 6 of them that I wouldn't want on the ground, which just seriously increased his chances of finishing in the first three. So it's more a sort of fairly safety first angle, thinking that, you know, even if he doesn't win, he probably will run well.
Yeah, and at 5-1, I suppose that's fair enough at that price if you're going down that kind of road. On to the 320 at Wincanton then, which is the one I've been waiting for, and I'm sure the listeners have been waiting for, because I know you're fairly strong on this one. This is a 2-mile handicap hurdle, this 320. Diamond Guy.
Great, we've got prices.
5-1. 5-1 for Giving Glances. Grey Diamond, 5-1. 5-1 highly prized. 5-1 Sebastopol. 9-1 Flying Tiger and Getaway to Europe. Pagero, 12-1. 16-1 Fresno. Emery, 16-1 Purple King, 22-1 at bigger prices, the rest. Now, given that we've got co-favourites of, 5 at the time of recording, this is either a very new market, which I think it might be, or this is a very competitive race.
Yeah, it probably is a competitive race, and I've gone for one of the 5-1 shots, unsurprisingly, and it's a horse called Sebastopol of Tom Lacey's. Now, let's start with the negatives. It's always important to get rid of the negatives. First of all, the only time that this horse has run well has been prior to his hurdle career.
Right.
So we have to bear that in mind. But when he ran over hurdles behind Thomas Darby at Cheltenham, he was given a very easy time of it. I felt quite strongly that day, despite the fact that he was one of the favourites, if not the favourite, a 15-8 favourite, I'm just seeing. I felt that they probably had a target further down the road that day, so yep. I wasn't too disappointed when he finished fourth. He then went to air quite a bit later on the 2nd of January and ran abysmally in a very average race when he was 2-5, and we haven't seen him since. I'm on his bumper form. I'm fairly confident this horse is extremely well handicapped off 127. Now, as far as tomorrow goes, Tom Lacey's had quite a few runners lately. He's had quite a few run like they've needed the run, and he's also had one or two winners.
Yep.
I don't know which camp this one is in. I don't know if he's ready tomorrow. I'm not privy to any inside information. So again, as with Definitely an Oscar, I'm really interested in Sebastopol over his next two or three runs. I hope tomorrow is the day. I have no idea if it is, but I hope it's tomorrow. But whatever happens tomorrow, he's a horse who I'll be backing on his next two or three runs. So I'm convinced that this horse is going to be rated 140 plus in the future, and he's 127 at the moment. So he's going to win. If I'm correct, he's going to win at least a couple of races.
Definitely room for manoeuvre off that mark. Sebastopol then in the 3:20 race at Wincanton. Don't forget you can join us on Racing Radio from 12:05 for all of the action on Thursday. Ross Bradley steering the ship. We've got Paddy Aspel and Chris Pimlott picking out the winners. Hopefully you'll be with us for all of that. Andy, thanks for that. Genuine pleasure as always. And enjoy the upcoming National Hunt season, the early stages.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.